Hey everybody, on this episode, Jake and I are going to be taking a little break from our hunt today, and we're going to be talking about lockdown tactics for the middle part of November. It's one of those time frames that gets kind of a negative reputation a lot of times, and it's funny because it's actually our favorite time of the year to hunt. I think as a THP group, we would choose that middle of November time frame to bow hunt over any other time. It's just usually when the biggest, oldest bucks are moving around, acting pretty silly, and when they get locked down with those, it usually puts them in some pretty vulnerable positions. So Jake and I are just going to be talking about some ways that you can find lockdown bucks, and maybe that'll help change your luck during the middle part of November here if you're having some slow hunts and you're not seeing that much. Maybe going and looking for some of these lockdown bucks may help you out. All right, Jake, tell me what you love about the lockdown.
I like that we have gotten better at finding where bucks like to take does during the lockdown in the last couple of years and been able to take advantage of some of those situations, I think. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people dread this time of year, but I think if you try to think of places that bucks take does or are going to want to take does to get them away from other deer, I think it's going to help you find them a lot.
I think the main reason people dread the lockdown, similar to why people dread the October lull, is because it's kind of like that time frame where deer just aren't in the most obvious spot. So, like, you know, a lot of stuff you see on TV is people hunting food plots or field edges and stuff, and, you know, those are really great places to catch deer when they're kind of on like a feeding pattern, an aggressive feeding pattern, I guess. But during the lockdown,
they're a lot more habitual.
Yeah. But like during the lockdown, you know, a buck doesn't want to just walk out into a field with a doe, you know, around a bunch of other deer. So it's like he's just trying to get her into a place that other deer don't like to go, in a field edge or food plot or just like, again, one of those kind of obvious spots. Mm-hmm. Even if you're in the timber and you're in like a, you know, like a hub where a bunch of ridges come together, like he's not just going to be down there with that doe. And I mm-hmm. think that's the thing to keep in mind. And again, it's kind of like the classic, like, I don't know, the influence that you see in the media is that this is just a tough time of the year. And yeah, it can be somewhat slow, but so it's being proven that here this first week in November for us can also be pretty slow. So just trying to find those oddball spots, I think, is, you know, that's a starting point. Think outside of the box. Don't think about the obvious spots as much. It doesn't take a lot of sign. It may be a place where deer don't even ever go.
Mm-hmm.
I got a story that probably, if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard, but it was like the light bulb moment for me when I started learning a little bit more about the lockdown and like how to find deer. And we've got a buddy, Justin Syme, and he's just one of those guys that is out there all the time. And he knows a lot about the woods. He's just a woodsman. And I was hunting with him in 2015. That was my Midwest Whitetail internship year, and everybody else had filled their buck tags, and we were getting kind of into the, I don't know, I think it was like the 20th roughly, so kind of last 10 days or so of November, and we went to this spot that it was a morning hunt, and we got up into a stand, and we were on the corner of the woods, and on that corner there was a road, a pretty busy road, a paved road. And in Iowa, there's not a ton of those, you know, mm-hmm. especially in places you'd like to hunt. And we're up against the road, and wind was blowing out across the road. And that made sense. Like, okay, you got a wind blowing to the road. It's kind of a safe zone. Not a lot of deer are going to get downwind of us. But, like, past that, it just, I don't know, nothing struck me as, like, man, this is a killer cruising spot. This isn't. It just didn't seem like a rut spot. It wasn't a rut spot that I had been hunting with the rest of the crew, you know, up to that point. So, you know, some hours went on in the stand, and, you know, as we're there longer and longer, I'm thinking, man, maybe this isn't going to pan out, like not really seeing anything. And again, it wasn't making a whole lot of sense to me, but I also trusted Justin's judgment because, again, I know he spends a ton of time out there. So finally I asked him, I was like, you know, what is it about this spot on this day that you like? And he just, you know, basically explained that he likes to hunt this area because with this wind blowing towards the road during this, you know, lockdown phase of the rut, it seemed like bucks were pushing does up to that road consistently and getting them against the road where their wind was blowing there and no other deer could get downwind of them. And he told me that, and I'm like, man, you know, that's a pretty deep thought. Like, I never really thought of it like that, but it makes sense. And I'll be darned, like an hour or two later, sure enough, one comes through doing exactly that, pushing a doe right to the tree. I mean, like, he couldn't have drawn it up any better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ever since then, it's just, you know, your mind's racing about that. Like, okay, where's a place? What is a place that a buck would take a doe? And, you know, we've learned that it's not just roads, but it's any kind of barrier, I guess, where a deer is going to not be able to get downwind of the buck with that doe.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the places that you think of?
Growing up in Wisconsin in, like, pretty open field country type stuff, I mean, the most classic one I've seen the most up there is just like a buck and a doe laying in a wide open bean stubble field or a freshly cut cornfield where they're just like in plain sight, but they just know that they're taking a doe out there just because they're sick of getting pestered by other bucks.
Right. Like
just in a strange spot where they're like, you'd never see them any other time of year, but for whatever reason, they just, I'm assuming it's just not to be pestered by other deer.
I watched a video one time on YouTube. I'm sure you could find it. Maybe somebody knows the name of it, but I always thought it was such a cool video. This guy, I think it's in Ohio. He sees this huge buck in one of those, like, you know, when there's a power line and there's the big, I don't even know what you call that thing, the big, whatever holds the power lines up.
Power pole?
Yeah, it's a power pole, but it's like the big, like, it's got more than just poles. It's like that whole contraption. It's got like four legs on it. Huh. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, maybe. I guess they don't have them as much around here, but they're just, he's huge. What's in a power line? I don't even know what you'd call it, but it basically creates this square. There's a bunch of them around where I grew up. It creates this square underneath because there's the four legs, and a lot of times they'll leave tall grass on them, and they won't mow. You know, they won't mow it,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be out in a cornfield. So this one in particular in this video, there's a cornfield. It's cut, and the only cover in this whole field is what's underneath that power line. Just a little square,
uh-huh.
and there's a huge buck and a doe in there. And this guy just goes straight at him, gets the wind quartered, you know, in his favor. He just goes straight at him and kills that buck.
Uh-huh.
The buck at the last second, like, jumps out of the grass and is standing right in the wide open, and he's right on the edge of it and shoots him.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's another great example of, like, just some weird oddball spot. That,
yeah.
Why would they ever be there?
I'm just thinking of, like, our southern viewers or something like that, our listeners, I guess, for this, but mm-hmm. it's just like, you just got to try to think of what that is for you. I mean, there's a lot of swamps and marshes down there, and in Wisconsin, they'll get them right up against those sloughs and rivers. We see them against all the time, lakes.
Water.
Just just try to think of a place that, I mean, no other deer are going to get that wind. You could find them right up next to a house, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just going to get them in strange spots that you would never expect.
Yep.
And I think the important thing is, if you're going to try to find that, you can do a couple different things during the rut. You can sit there and wait for a cruising buck that has dropped a doe. But the thing that I think about is, like, the buck that I want to shoot is locked down with the doe, probably. Like, that's the one we're after, because, I mean, it's probably going to be a big buck if he's got the doe. And there might be a couple other nice ones around him that I might want to shoot, too.
Yep.
And they really... I mean, they'll let their guard down quite a bit when they are locked down with the doe.
The thing is, too, it's like that middle of November time frame. Like, basically, you know, I've always heard 14th is peak. Like, that's just straight up, like, I remember Grant Woods talking about it a lot. But it's like talking about there's this peak in, the studies that they've done where, like, fawn, you know, they have some way of measuring it, but basically the peak of it is, like, always right at November 14th in most of the country. You know, I obviously it varies by region a little bit, but, you know, November 14th, that being the peak day, let's just say for the, most of the Midwest, it's like, at that time frame, most of those bucks are going to be locked down with does because there's usually more does than bucks, right? So it's like if the majority of the does are in heat at that time, the majority of the bucks are going to be with them. And that's why you see these slow sit, or, you know, these the guys that are, you know, again, hunting these more obvious areas. Not to say that it doesn't work, but, you know, there may not be a buck out there cruising around checking the does that are feeding out there. Heck, even the does a lot of times at that point start hitting the cover pretty hard because they don't want to get harassed anymore.
Yeah, they've there's been a year and a half old bucks that have been pestering them since the middle of October, the first time it got cold.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're getting themselves in some pretty strange spots too.
And but I think
the important thing is to just keep moving around. I mean, if you want to find a good pinch point and set up, that'll definitely work. But, I mean, we prefer to just go try to find the rut. Because, like, if you're not in them, you're not in them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're around a hot doe, there's probably going to be several bucks,
mm-hmm.
depending on the area that you're hunting.
A couple different, like, clues, you know, are just watching other deer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you can watch the smaller bucks, and you can kind of get a gauge as to where the bigger buck with the doe, you know, essentially where the doe is, because that's really all you're hunting. You know, yeah, you're hunting hopefully a big buck with her, but, like, those bucks are going to tell you where her scent is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that they're cruising, the way that they're bouncing around, the way that they're looking at different stuff. I mean, even today we were watching this buck, and it was on a place that we couldn't hunt, but we were watching this buck, and he was in this thicket, and he was a really nice buck, but he made us think that there was a bigger one in there that we couldn't see. We couldn't hunt it, so it didn't really matter to us. So we didn't spend a whole bunch of time watching him. But the way he was looking in this thicket was like, there's probably another deer in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're seeing something like that, that may tip you off as to, like...
Yeah, a lot of times this time of year, deer will lead you to other deer because there's some sort of scent trail that they're following, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And if, I mean, say a situation where you watch a buck, maybe that you want to shoot, running down this trail, maybe he's chasing a doe, maybe he's not, maybe he's just cruising. But, I mean, if you guys ever watched the video of, like, Ted's Missouri buck, maybe he went off on a private or something, but get on that trail. Try not to get your scent on it. Get set up on that trail where you got a good wind, because there's a decent chance there might be another buck coming down it.
Mm-hmm. The one that I think about.
And if you're not within range of that trail, don't sit there and hope that the next buck's going to come right by
you.
Yeah, you got to get right on that spot, because, I mean, if there's one buck that went through there, there's a decent chance there's going to be another one on that exact same scent trail.
When we were interns, it was Michael Parente and I. It was November 4th. And there was this buck that, I think I was filming him, there's this buck that he wanted to shoot, and, I mean, that thing went on this trail once, and then he went on that trail twice. And we're like, certainly he'll never hit that trail a third time, and this has given us, like, plenty of time to go over there and just move to it, and then the third time, sure enough, he did it, and it's like, man, we should have moved over there, and, like, that's just, like, one of those examples. Another one of those examples. This is a classic, like, late rut situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with Sean Ferendorf, and we were in the area of the buck nest, and there was this buck back there that we called Ray Finkel, which is just hilarious. It's basically Aaron just coming up with the most absurd name that he could come up with, and it was hilarious, so... We've got Ray Finkel out there, and this is a buck that we had, like, trail camera pictures of from multiple years. Like, we had a little bit of an eye on him. We had a little bit of an eye out for him. And we had seen him a couple times up to that point, but I think Aaron and I had both shot, bucks. And so Sean and I started going in there, and I was filming him, and we were in this stand that we had previously hung. Aaron and I think had hung it, and we're sitting in it, and nothing really, I don't think too crazy had happened, but it was like a rainy, just kind of nasty weather day, not real nice out there, and especially not nice for for me as cameraman, I remember that being a pain. But anyway, we're sitting there and all of a sudden, like, all hell just breaks loose and there's this doe running full bore, like as fast as a deer can run through tall grass. It's just plowing the grass, and there's a spike behind her on her trail. And it's like, and they ran straight downwind right through our scent and just kept on going.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, something is happening here. Like, that seemed pretty intense for that just to be like a year and a half old buck chasing a doe. And it was like, let's just be ready for another buck to do that same thing and see what happens. Well, another one did it. And it was like, you know, if that first one was a spike or a year and a half old buck, this is like a 2-year-old buck. And he comes down and he gets our wind and he runs. And it was like, man, I don't know, like, maybe we ought to move over there, because it's not much. It's like they're coming down the trail at like 40 yards, but they're just going straight downwind of us, because that's where she went through at. Well, then a little bit later, another one did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, like, sure enough, gets our wind, and he's another year older yet. He's probably a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, dude, I'm like, Sean, there's gonna be a big buck coming. So it's like, we either move or, like, we gotta be pinned to where she came from and try to grunt a buck to us before, and try to pull him off that trail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hindsight and with much more experience, I think that we now would have been there 20 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But sure enough, we're sitting there and all of a sudden, boom, there he is. It's Ray Finkel. It's a deer that we got tons of history with. And he's coming right down that same exact trail. And Sean grunts at him, and he doesn't even pay a lick of attention. Sure enough, hits the scent and takes off, runs the other way. And it's just like, you know, that time of the year, that's the way it goes. This time of the year, in general, rut, man. Rut is essentially lockdown.
Yeah, you can have a lockdown start late October if I mean, it's just, if there's a hot doe that comes in, there's going to be a buck that's locked down with her.
I mean, that hunt
for a couple days,
that hunt that Ted and I had, and then you ended up meeting me back there that same day, that was a total lockdown hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's in general,
and you guys, and you I mean, basically what happened was, I mean, it was the first hot doe, so there's several mature bucks in there kind of trying to win her over.
Well, and I think that's kind of like, in this weird way, this weird misconception of what the rut is. It's like, that buck is with the doe, and they're laying there, and then all of a sudden, big buck number two comes in, stirs the pot, everybody's up and running around chasing. It's like, the big buck really wants the doe alone. His goal is to get her alone. When you see chasing and craziness with big bucks, something stirred the pot. Mm-hmm. Another hunter's bumped them. A combine bumped them out of a field. Like, another buck came in and just, like, was raising hell in there and spooking kind of everything, making that doe get up and move. And then fights happen. But essentially, when you're talking just pure rut, what's happening is a mature buck just has a doe, and he's trying to get her away from all the other deer. And sometimes that makes for some really slow hunting. Now, that's not to say that, during the rut, bucks aren't seeking. They definitely are. But if you're like us and you struggle to just be in one position for long hours, there's guys that are great at it. And by all means, the most respect to those guys, because I cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit there day in and day out in one spot. It just drives me crazy. And I start second guessing everything. And it's just, you know, it's just different styles. So I think that if you're feeling burnout on setting up and you're not seeing much and your spots aren't producing, it's like, don't be afraid to mix it up and just try, you know, doing some different stuff, trying to keep moving. And that seems easier said than done, I think. Right. So it's like, what are you trying to do? Talk about some things that you would try to do. If you're like, right now, today, what are you going to try to do to find yourself a big buck locked down with a doe, or essentially find the rut, find that pocket of bucks chasing one doe?
Well, today specifically, in my experience is mostly in the Midwest and out West during this time of year. I don't have a lot of experience in, like, big timber or down South for the lockdown phase, I wouldn't say. Mm-hmm. I'd say, like, when we were in Mississippi, I opted more for the, just like setting, sitting on like a cruising route.
So, or still hunting and just looking for action, like trying to catch a satellite buck around a bigger buck and stuff like that. But I think for the Midwest and out West, I like getting on some sort of water just because it seems like they always want to push them up against that. And I mean, there's rivers and lakes that are surrounded by public land pretty much throughout the country. So I think that's a strategy that
you can put into place anywhere.
Especially rivers too. I mean, it's like we always see them push them right up against that. And I mean, you can be kayaking or boating down the bank and just get them to stand on their feet. And then, I mean, keep paddling on by. And a lot of times they'll just sit right there and watch you go by as long as you don't
change your pace.
Yeah. Just like try not to freak out, I guess. Just try to act like
you didn't even
see a fisherman, him. You know? Yeah.
It sounds silly, but driving, I mean, you've probably seen it driving down the road at the very least. It's like you're driving down the road, you slam on the brakes, big buck freaks out and runs. If you keep driving down the road, don't even slow down, he usually just stands there and thinks that you didn't notice him. I mean, they pick up on that stuff, obviously. So it's like, I think that's an important part of it. I think another thing that a guy could do if he's like looking for, and this can, again, go across the country, then it's not limited to like the Midwest. It's like, if you've got ideas in mind of where you think a big buck would be. So for example, let's say you are looking at that river and you're like, man, I can't see him in there, but like, I think there's a good chance he's there. It's like your gut is just telling you that he's there. You can move through as slow as you can, looking, listening, still hunting your way towards that spot. And then if you can get tight enough to where you feel like you're in there with him, you just try grunting and just trying to act like an aggressive buck. There's really no better buck to call to, in my opinion, than one that is locked down.
Yeah, especially if you can get within that bubble. I mean, like that one, I'm thinking of like that one. So this is a pretty good example of one, that one Ted and I spooked out of the boat. And I was just going to say that, like, for maybe a strategy for somewhere where you can't get eyes on stuff as easily, just, I mean, still hunt around, try not to spook something, but, I mean, kind of go in with the attitude that, hey, I might spook something, but just get the wind in your favor, and hopefully you kick them up, and they don't really know exactly what happened, then just move the direction that they moved and try to make your best guess at where the next place they would lay down is going to be, because if you don't spook them that hard, what we're finding in the last couple of years is a lot of times they're just moving to whatever the next security cover is, and that might be 200 yards, it might be 800 yards, but if you can just, I mean, look at your map and try to make your best guess at where they would want to go to on that day.
And you kind of know. I mean, if you are spending time out there scouting, and you know where bedding areas are, you know where those pockets of cover are, and you got that stuff on your map pinned already, like, just go with your gut. I mean, it's
a lot of fun then, too, because it's like, you know that there's a deer in that direction, and that's really was what's going to slow you down. I think I have a really hard time of moving slow enough if I don't know that there's one there. But at the same time, a lot of times it's just like, if you kick them up and get a visual on it, and I mean, then you know that there's a buck that you want to shoot in that direction. It's going to help you slow down and really pick stuff apart with your binoculars and move slow enough where you're sounding like not a human, you know?
Yeah, and the big thing that I would say, like, for lockdown especially, I mean, anytime, just hunting in general, but like, man, I glass like to the point where I'm sure it's helpful that I have somebody else with me, because I glass so much that I'm like, I'm sure I miss stuff up close, but I'm trying to pick stuff apart to the point that it's like I'm obsessive. And like, I think that is a huge thing that I'm doing now that I wasn't doing, especially like 5-6 years ago. It's like, I'll just sit there and I'll like hit every edge 2 or 3 times, especially when I'm moving through stuff. Because here's another thing that we could mention about a lockdown buck. A lot of times, if he's got her in the position that he wants her to be in, and he feels confident that, you know, the only way that a buck's getting to him is down that same trail. So I guess let's just paint a quick picture here. We've got a buck along a river bottom, and he's in some thick cover right up against, maybe on like a bend of a river on a big oxbow. And he's got her pushed out there with the wind blowing from the dry land to the river. So basically blowing from the inside of the U to the outside of the ewe in the curve, you know.
Yeah, and like put some on top of that. Maybe there's a wide open field across the river from him where he's not expecting deer to be moving during daylight at least.
Mm-hmm. Wide open field, even better yet, a plowed, a disked under field where like they're not even going out there ever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in that position, right? And he's got the wind in his favor, and you start sliding down the river kind of in a crosswind. And you, and again, you're going with that gut. Maybe you see him, but maybe you don't. And you just are going with your gut, and you're like, man, I really think that's a great place for a buck to be right now. And you're sliding in there, and all of a sudden, boom, you snap a stick. If you keep moving, there's a good chance that they're going to bust you. But if you stop at those times, you make that loud noise, and you just do a quick scan, sometimes that's enough to just get him up and think, and what's going through his head is not danger, danger, danger. It's there's another buck over there, and I'm going to kill him. You know, like that's like it's a different time of the year. This isn't the type of year where they're just flighting out of there and just full bore running as soon as they hear something, and they're like immediately thinking there's another buck around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times when we pop a stick this time of year, if you got enough cover especially, we'll just throw a grunt right after it, just just in case there is a buck somewhere up in front of you and you don't know it, and you sit there and be patient for 5-10 minutes and give him a chance to stand up and maybe even come in, especially if you got cover.
The amount of times since I've started hunting off the ground where I've had that happen now is just like crazy. We're just like glassing down through there now. There'll be days and days where it doesn't happen, but like if you keep on it and you don't get lazy with it, and it's hard. I mean, there's been a couple times lately where I've noticed that I've been getting lazy with it, and it's like, okay, hey, I'm being late. Be honest with yourself too. It's like if you're popping a stick and you're not stopping and looking, especially if you're in the money and you're in the sign and you know there's deer around, like, you know, don't be afraid to like slow yourself down, check yourself, and make sure that you're going slow enough. But a lot of times those deer will be, you know, those bucks will stand up and they'll make themselves visible because their antlers stick up out of something, you know. So that's just an example.
Another thing, too, that I'm thinking about, just that doesn't really have to do with lockdown, but, I mean, really any time of year, but especially this time of year, if you're going to go scouting, take your damn bow with you. Because we've seen a couple people recently that are just, I mean, they're out scouting, they got binoculars on and stuff like that, but, and it's, I mean, even if it's the middle of the day, you never know when you're just going to walk up on something. I'd hate for you to not have your bow with you.
I think especially middle of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that's, to me, it's like, that's when stuff happens. I mean, we even have like this goofy little like superstition every once in a while where it's like, hey, you know, we're always running a guy with a camera and a guy with a bow. It's like, hey, why don't you guy with the bow just go up there, and I'll just stay back here with the camera, because if you go up there alone, something crazy will happen, and it won't be in the game, you know. And it, you know, every once in a while it does play out that way. When you least expect it, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, another thing, I was telling Roy this, and he's like referenced this since it happened, but we were in New Mexico. We're walking out the last day, and we've been hunting in this spot for days. It's like day 8 back in that area, and most of the days we were taking the same route in and out. And on the way out on the last day, the place we had walked a bunch of times, our ground scent is stuck in the ground. Boom, we jumped this like pretty big wad of does. And I turned to him after that, and I was like, the thing that I've learned in bow hunting is, and hunting in general, I guess, it's like always expect the unexpected. Like, always expect something to not go the way you want it to, because it's just nature, baby. It ain't gonna just go the way that you want it to go every time. So like, sometimes just looking back too, man, like just those weird little things that you start doing over time, that I think I look back on when I was a teenager and I was so like bullheaded and like I'm just so stubborn that this is the way it's gonna happen, that I was overlooking these little things. I'm not saying that like every time you look back during the rut there's gonna be a big buck locked down with the doe against the river, but even because you passed a thicket, you know, take a look back, you know, look at it from a different angle. If you're moving through glassing, you know, or you're just in a big open area, you know, overlooking a clear cut, or you're overlooking a CRP field or something, like, look at it from different angles. Don't just keep hitting it from the same spot.
That's I'd imagine would be pretty good. Like in the South, is just like some of those brand new clear cuts, fresh clear cuts that I would think a buck would take a doe to lock her down.
I think that, and I just think any like really dense cover in general, you know, is good, which it can be super frustrating. It's like, wow, it's so thick. How do I get in there?
And if you're walking around scouting this time of year, pay attention to where you are bumping bucks up with those, because there's going to be a reoccurring theme there if you do it enough.
Yeah, and if people have experience bumping does during the rut, or I'm sorry, bumping bucks with does during the rut, send us a message if you're, you know, in some of these areas and you got cool ideas. I always like that feedback.
And something that we're realizing is like, it's like they'll take them to the same, at least general areas, year in and year out. It's not just like you're running into them there one time, although they are oddball spots that time of year. They can be really good. So
I remember when I was a kid, and even like my dad and I talked about it for years, it's like, man, during the rut sometimes they just end up right by the road. Why is that? And it's just like Justin Syme said in the, you know, in that story that I told at the beginning of this, it's like they can go out there and they can put them right against the spot where, like, you know, deer aren't just hanging out on the road. They're not hanging out in the middle of the road, at least. So it's like that's a safe spot for them to go. And I mean, how many times have you seen and I seen it, and anybody listening? It's like, think about the times you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're like, huge buck right there with a doe, and he's standing up and she's laying down. And, you know, I guess to just rattle off a few other ideas, I mean, you could say, you mentioned like a house, like an old house too, or like a
abandoned barn, farmyard, something like that.
Yeah, like an old homestead where there's maybe out in the middle of a field where there's some tall grass. A railroad track is a good one. Any pond or like any sort of water source is a really good one. A disced field is one that I've seen before. I was hunting with John Lewis back in, I think it was 2015, and we were just blowing our wind out into a disced field, and we literally watched a buck push a doe and bed down with her right underneath of us, straight up mid-November. I think it was like the 14th. And it was just like, he pushed her right there, and they laid there, and they looked out into that field, wind at their back, and, you know, they knew they were pretty well covered. Can you think of any other ones off the top of your head? I mean, really thick is another option, I think, especially, like, I think we're both kind of feeling today in our exact current situation. It's really hot today, and we're in Iowa. It's 68 degrees is what the truck reads right now. And, like, you know, that's not ideal. And a lot of times we like finding them out in these open areas because it's the easiest for us to see them. And a lot of times there's not too many hunters out in those open areas. I mean, we actually haven't seen another hunter doing anything other than up in a stand, really. So it's like, that's what we like to, where we like to find them. But today it's so warm that it doesn't maybe seem like they would be out. We're just not seeing them in the places that we're hoping to, and we've only looked in these open areas. But I think today it might be too hot. I think today, you know,
just they don't want that sun beating down on.
It kind of seems like maybe a cedar patch or maybe an open oak ridge where, you know, they can get a little bit of food source as well, but get some of that shade.
Yeah, a little bit of breeze, and just they'll shift around, a couple yards just to stay in the shade throughout the day.
It just, you know, today's conditions just don't really make a whole lot of sense maybe for the open stuff. But anyway, I guess another thing that is a really good tool to use during the lockdown, I think, is a decoy. You know, decoys can be great in the right situations any time of the year, but if a buck is with a doe, he gets super defensive. And, you know, one easy example is the buck that I filmed Darren shoot in 2015. Man, I learned a lot about the lockdown in 2015. And really, it was because I was hunting in Iowa for the first time, and I was able to see a lot of really great examples. I mean, just seeing more deer and more mature bucks, I was getting a lot of repetition, you know. So it's a really great learning experience, and that's always been, you know, kind of the interest is just simply how much you can learn from watching deer. But we were hunting an area that we'd been hunting a lot, and we saw this buck come out with his doe. Hadn't seen a deer. And again, it's your classic, you know, mid-November lockdown hunt. Not a whole lot was going on. There was south winds that day. It was pretty calm in the morning. The wind started to pick up mid-morning. And I want to say it was like probably 10:40 to 11:30, somewhere in there, where that we first saw that buck. And it was the first deer that we saw. It was a buck in the doe. And we had put a decoy out. And wind's in our favor good. And we see this buck come out, and he was a long way away from us, but he was just tending that doe, and it was just him and her, and they were feeding, and they were probably going to bed down out in that tall grass that we could see him in. So it was like a big patch of timber that they came out of, and then they got in that tall grass, and it seemed like they were just kind of making a bed shift to go into that type of stuff. And everything was pretty calm, you know. They weren't like chasing, they weren't doing anything other than just kind of moving together. And Aaron waited until she got just out of sight from him, or at least as best we could tell, you know. It's like she kind of disappeared into the tall grass, and we could still see him, but we couldn't see her. I'm sure he could probably hear her, but like just the timing of that, and then Aaron grunted just one time, and he kind of perked up. And he just, you know, I think in that exact situation, he thought, you know what? We are good right here. I'm one tough SOB. I'm going to walk all the way across there, and I'm going to just run, make sure that thing knows, stay the hell out of here. And I think that that buck just calmly walked over to check the scene out, and then all of a sudden, boom, he saw that decoy, and I remember his whole demeanor just being, like, changed. Like, I'm going to take you out, man. And just, like, pinned his ears back, walked in, drilled him. And that was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, another thing you can do, we're talking about a lot of hunting off the ground situations because that's what we like to do a lot. But, you know, you can also set up in these areas too. And I guess the only downside to setting up is just that you may not be in him. Mm-hmm. If he's not there, you know, you're not going to be in the deer. And you can move around, maybe move around and still just put a stand up if that's, you know, if that's your style. If you like to, you know, move and scout, like still put a stand up. And the best thing you can do in that situation, I think, is just play it like it's kind of like an October hunt where you're just trying to get as tight to them as possible before you do set up. And you're just trying to get on that best trail to wherever they would leave that bedding area from. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like? Because I think, you know, there's probably a lot of people that are listening to this that are still never going to do, you know, run around on the ground as much as we like to. And I think that, you know, there's still ways to be mobile and set up on it. I guess I will throw out this. It's like, if you're wanting to play it safe, if that's just kind of, again, your style, you know, if you're moving into an area, especially if you see one go in there, at least tighten that up. At least close that gap a little bit. And listen for movement. You know, that's a huge thing that we're doing a lot of times as we're moving into these areas. Again, especially when we know one's there. He's grunting.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely is. And if you've got all day, so let's say the situation is at 9:45 a.m., you watch a buck move down into a patch of bedding, thick, whatever. You know he's in there. You know that, like, at that time in the morning, he's in with a doe, I guess. You know he's probably not leaving that. And he's moving slow with her. It's like, okay, they're about to bed down, but I don't know exactly where. To make sure that you don't blow the whole situation, if you move in slowly and you've got all day, remember, you've got all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing that I think is really important and something that we mess up sometimes is that we get so ambitious that he's there, and we get so excited that we just like run in there way too quick, and we start making little mistakes and tipping him off with sound or maybe blow him with the wind or whatever it may be. But if you can continue to pinpoint them by listening, that's really helpful. And, you know, the other thing is too, if you're the type that wants to set up on the outskirts of that and not you know, keep pushing in or not try to call them in, whatever. You know, if you can get up and you find a hot scrape on your way to it, that's a great place to set up, because a lot of times I think that, you know, they kind of walk back through that stuff. There's a major trail there. Major trails in general, I think, leaving that type of bedding area, I think, are really great spots. But again, the risk is if you don't see one or you don't know one's there, that's kind of what we're trying to help you avoid, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't just keep setting up. Don't just switch it up. Like, try to find them. Because here's the other thing about it. It's short-lived. It's like that time of the year where, you know, folks that run a lot of trail cameras, they'll consistently get the same group of bucks, and then all of a sudden it's like November 12th, and then there's just like four different ones, and the ones that they were getting aren't there anymore. So it's like, there's just bucks kind of going wherever. They're just going wherever the does are is what they're doing. So if one is locked down and you spook him, it's like it couldn't affect him any less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't care at all. He's just like, well, we were there. That's just where we were,
mm-hmm.
You know. And again, we're talking a lot of times deer that are out of their range completely. So bumping them is much less of an issue than it is in October when you're trying to hunt a pattern. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, trying to get several different hunts on maybe the same buck or something like that. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a good chance it might just be 4 miles away tomorrow. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think just keep moving.
That's what we think. I mean,
That's what the bucks are doing when they don't have a hot doe. So.
Right. And again, the reason that setting up on those funnels isn't as good as what it is like right now when we're recording this, November 8th, it's like the majority of the does are in heat, therefore the majority of the bucks are going to be locked down. They're going to be bedded, trying to hide from everything,
mm-hmm.
hunters and other deer. So just getting out there and moving and trying to just mix it up, man, and calling. I mean, call, decoy. One thing that I really regret not doing on a couple bucks that I've hunted during this time frame that we're talking about is using, I have one of those heads-up decoys. And if you're not familiar, they're like just the silhouette of a deer's like neck and head and antlers. And really that is like the number one use for that heads-up decoy. The guy that we've actually got a podcast too. This would be interesting if you're interested in this style as a follow-up for this one. It's I have no idea what episode number it is. I don't remember what I titled it either, but it's with Garrett Rowe. He is the guy that started Heads Up Decoy, and he talks a lot about how he uses the decoy and how he, you know, is effective during this time frame. So it's a cool follow-up if you're interested in that style. But the thing that I regret is just chickening out on using it a couple times. And the reason is like, you could go back and watch this video too, but in 2019 I was hunting with Grant and we were finding these bucks in this river bottom, and they were at, like, 3 days in a row from the dates of like November, I think 16 to November 19, we were just seeing bucks like crazy up against this river with does, and every day a different buck, and every day a little bit different spot. So again, that kind of plays into, you know, I can make a different move on them tomorrow. It's like, yeah, the window that, you know, a doe's in heat is like 3 days, and that's one of those things that people talk about a lot. But like, I mean, tomorrow's a new day, and they could be so far away. They could get bumped by anything and everything, and you get that situation, don't let it pass you by. You know, don't wait for a different condition, because like, he may just as well not. I mean, he's probably not going to be there tomorrow, honestly. Anyway, we hunted back there, and we were all over these deer, and I kept chickening out. And the one thing that happened, though, consistently when we were getting tight to these bucks is they would stand up and think if they were getting any amount of or they were getting any visual on us, they just automatically assumed that we were another buck. I mean, these big bucks, seeing a human, they were seriously getting us confused for deer. And like, had I just actually had that thing on my bow, it would have made them come right in. I'm certain of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening is I ended up stalking up on one and hitting him too high. And then that same buck, actually, Greg ended up hitting, or no, I'm sorry, killing with the muzzleloader that same late season. And the one thing that, I guess what happened in that situation is I popped up on a creek bank and I slid my butt up to like the top of the creek and I got ready for a shot and he was bedded, not looking at me. And after a while, all of a sudden, and he didn't know I was there at all, but after a while, he started to like kind of catch something was different and I could see him like doing double takes at me. Well, then automatically, as soon as he realized something was there and was different, he just stood up and walked right towards me and cut like 3 to 5 yards like right away. And he was quartered to me and I was like waiting for a better shot, but he was standing there trying to figure me out and I was at full draw. Well, had I had that decoy on my bow, I bet he probably would have walked a heck of a lot closer, eventually started a circle downwind and would have turned broadside for me and gave me a probably pretty dang easy shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, did chickened out and thought, well, I don't need it. And I didn't need it to get close. And I think that's kind of why I always like personally wimp out on it, is like, well, I know I can get there. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. I can get there pretty easy, and I don't want to have to, like, I just would rather sneak up there and shoot him and him not know. But, like, since I've chickened out so many times, I'm like, man, I just know it'll work. You get to see that reaction that they have, and they immediately just get mad. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool, really. But anything else that you would add to lockdown?
Nope. I think I want to start cruising around trying to find one.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys can take something away from this. And like we said, if there's other cool things that, you know, you've seen bucks do during the lockdown phase, if you're in a region that maybe we don't have as much experience in, like up in the Northeast or Southeast, you know, let us know, because we're trying to learn as much as possible. We're trying to go hunting in those areas as much as possible mm-hmm. in our future. So, you know, it's cool to share that information. And if you guys have anything that you want to hear about going into the late season, also feel free to let us know and we'll touch on it. Thanks for tuning in and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you.